Today is Saturday, July 11th, 2015, and this...
You made me a lot of money tonight.
Great roll.
Jilly from Philly.
Nick Papagiorgio from Yuma.
Nick Papagiorgio from Yuma. You like getting massaged?
By who?
By me. Meet us in the spot 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Mr. Papagiorgio.
Hey, Randy,
this guy's with us. You take care of him.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 511.
Las Vegas, the honor!
Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you this week?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Yay.
Happy to be here behind the mic doing a show on a Saturday night. We've done a lot of Saturday shows lately.
We have.
Getting into a little Saturday night groove.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a song?
I don't know.
Well, it is. It isn't. I don't know. Fuck it. Hey.
there are a lot of songs about Saturday night.
I know. I could bring some of them up, but that would be a different show that we'd be doing.
Yes.
This isn't a music show. Yeah, so we've got some Las Vegas news to talk about. We've got some phone calls.
It just means that we're dorks who have nothing better to do than sit around behind a microphone on a Saturday night.
So true.
Oh, well.
So that intro clip that I played is...
Our boredom benefits you.
It does. That intro clip I played is from, of course, Vegas Vacation, and that is Jerry Weintraub playing Jilly from Philly, and I needed to pull a clip of him because he passed away earlier this week. And huge talent. That guy was an amazing producer. He wasn't really an actor, but he appeared in a few of his movies that he produced, including Vegas Vacation, Ocean's 11, and Ocean's 13.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to highly recommend... Actually, you know what? We've never done this early in the show. We're going to do the Amazon Listener Purchase of the Week.
Wow.
Because it's part of the... It fits in.
Moving things around, shaking things up.
I know. This week's Amazon.com Listener Purchase of the Week is When I Stop Talking, You'll Know I'm Dead by Jerry Weintraub, the ebook for $9.99. And he has stopped talking, unfortunately. Fascinating guy. So I would recommend if you like like Hollywood stories, like showbiz stories, this book is fascinating. He started off, I believe, as I read this book and I saw the documentary, the HBO documentary that was kind of based off it called His Way as well. Both of them are excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And he started off, I believe, as the manager of John Denver. And then early in his career, he also got involved with Elvis and taking Elvis out on tour one of his first times.
Whoa.
Yeah, he had an incredible career, both in music and movies and all kinds of things. And, of course, you know, if you're just into Vegas stuff, he appeared in Vegas Vacation as Jilly from Philly. And he had different roles in Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 13. He wasn't the same character in both. I think, you know, minor parts, but...
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that guy's awesome. I was sorry to hear that he died. So thought, you know what? We got to use an intro clip from Vegas Vacation. We haven't ever used him on here before. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got some Vegas news, as we always do. And some of the odder Vegas news that we've had in a long, long time coming out of the D Las Vegas this week.
This was crazy.
It really was crazy. So early Wednesday morning, like 2:30 a.m., some guy is playing Sigma Derby. Up on the second floor in the vintage Vegas casino.
As you do.
As you do when you're in Vegas. Played for about 15 minutes or so. And then, this is based on security footage, walked over to the Blarney Stone on display in the corner, which is like the only leftover remnant from when it was Fitzgerald's, picked it up, placed it on his shoulder, headed down the escalator and out the door with it.
As you also do.
No, you don't. Nobody does that.
Crazy.
I know.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Because I woke up and you're like, you're never going to believe what happened last night.
Yeah, it was. Well, and it happened early on Wednesday morning, and then Wednesday evening, like later, like 12, 15 hours later, something like that, Derek went on social media and said, I can't believe this happened.
Right.
He went on Periscope and then Twitter, and then it took off and they had security footage of the guy. Fortunately, the next day, Thursday morning, he showed up, and apparently his friends, when he showed up on the local news in Las Vegas and all over the internet, his friends were like, dude,
what did you do?
So the guy brought the Blarney Stone back. Apparently, the story goes that he had been playing somewhere at a different casino on Fremont Street, had a nice little lucky streak, did a few tequila shots to celebrate, and then decided to make some bad decisions. And that resulted in him stealing the Blarney Stone for no apparent reason.
Just like, hey, I'd like a piece of this rock.
Yeah. So he brought it back. He apologized. He explained what happened. And
it was a bad decision.
A very bad decision. And he was, I'm sure, frightened that he was going to be thrown in jail. Yeah, I guess he was like, look, I fucked up and I was trying to figure out how to get this thing back. And here's what happened and I'm really sorry. And as a result, the D decided not to press charges. So I, you know, you hate to see people do stupid shit.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the fact that he brought it back the next day and apologized. It's I guess it's
no harm done.
No.
Yeah.
No. I kept thinking of the line from The Hangover. Some people just, some guys just can't handle Vegas. It's like, well, that guy might want to take a little break.
Yeah.
When you're making those kind of decisions, you might want to ease up in the alcohol.
Was he local or was he a tourist?
I don't think so. What? I'm not sure where he's from. They just said they didn't reveal his identity, which again,
which is
that's
good.
Probably a good idea because you know what the pitchforks and torches would be out on Twitter if the guy had a Twitter account,
right?
So there was, speaking of Twitter, the incident did spawn a Twitter account at D Blarney Stone. Unfortunately, because of the one downside of the short-lived incident is that the Twitter account doesn't serve much of a purpose anymore, but it showed the Blarney Stone what it was up to during those hours.
The Blarney Stone was having a little staycation.
Including some time on the water slide at Golden Nugget and zip line at the Slotzilla zip line and breakfast at Dupar's. So some fun times for the Blarney Stone, but short-lived, it was returned. So yeah, that's it. And weird news event.
Yeah, and it'll be
fucking
in
Vegas,
a much more secure situation now.
They're gonna
have some security guards, and then they're gonna permanently secure it to something.
Yeah, I kind of assumed it was already like more secure than it appeared, but no, apparently not.
Do you kiss the Blarney Stone when you're there?
Hell no. You know how fucking nasty that would be? That'd be grosser than sitting in one of those old Imperial Palace love trot tubs.
Oh!
As far as the germs that are in there? No.
Do you have any interest in kissing the actual Blarney Stone in Ireland?
I don't know.
I don't.
I'd go
I want to go
to
Ireland, but I have no desire to make out with the Blarney Stone just because of... There have been a lot of people before me, so I get kind of grossed out by that sort of thing.
Yeah,
but you can touch it and then use some hand sanitizer and then go play because they say touching it is good luck. I don't know.
That's all bullshit. I'm not into that superstition kind of stuff. Nah, it's fine. It's a, you know, I appreciate that there's something there from Fitzgerald's and it's, you know, I get the tradition behind it, but as far as the actual, like, does it do anything?
Probably not.
No. It's probably about as effective as the karma donations people make to the show. So yeah, go kiss the Blarney Stone and make karma donations.
Or pulling Caesar's finger when you go into Caesar's
Palace. I don't
think
you're actually pulling the finger. I think you're just touching the I don't know.
Or rubbing Cleopatra's boobs.
Is that supposed to be good luck? I think that's just because it's fun. I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the Blarney Stone
like
thing.
The fact that it's a holdover from the Fitz.
Gotta have something.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? All right. Some entertainment news. Venetian.
Other than my memories of seeing the drummer from Foo Fighters. That's the other holdover
from
the Fitz.
That was Fitzgerald's, wasn't it? Yeah, that's right. I kind of forgot about that celebrity sighting. That was buried in my memory.
Yep.
Yeah, right at the bottom of the escalator.
Yep.
Some entertainment news. Venetian announced that Diana Ross will be returning for a handful of dates in November. She did a short run of shows there in March. She's going to be doing 9 more shows in November. Tickets run between $60 and $266 through the Venetian website.
Residency?
Yeah, I think so. 9 shows over a very short amount of time.
Okay.
And it's a return gig, so, you know, kind of... yeah, sure. Why? It's a mini residency.
Oh, we're qualifying it now?
I don't fucking know. I don't know. I think I may have set some guidelines at some point for the number of shows or how free. I don't know, but yeah, why not?
Okay.
We'll give it to her. Kind of along a similar vein, not necessarily in terms of the quality of the music, but in terms of the performance type.
Or the time.
There we go. Seven shows in late September and early October at Planet Hollywood by Pitbull. He'll be performing in the Axis Theater, where Britney and soon Jennifer Lopez perform. Tickets are between $48 and $526. This was announced a few weeks ago, and we just never got around to talking about it because it's Pitbull. Pitbull is one of those guys kind of like Iggy Azalea, uh-huh. where you're like, oh, that's kind of a catchy song. Oh, yeah, I really like all the parts that that person's not actually involved in. Like all the good parts of the Pitbull songs. Mm-hmm. It's like they bring in somebody who's super talented, like Neo, to sing yeah. like a really hooky verse. Same thing, that Iggy Azalea song that was her first
Fancy.
Big,
yeah.
Fancy.
The but, best part is Charlie XCX yeah, on that.
They bring in Charlie XCX, super poppy part, and then Iggy Azalea does her really shitty rap that's like, ugh. But it has her name on it because it's technically her song.
Mm-hmm.
So all of Pitbull songs are like that.
How about...
We're not going to play any of them because they suck.
No. How about Iggy Azalea and Britney Spears, that song?
That song is just a piece of shit. Yeah, that's not a good song.
And then Britney was a little... Yeah, well, she made an interesting allusion to her on Twitter. There was a falling out, and Britney is like, I'm so grateful I have shows to do for the rest of the year.
I know. Iggy Azalea canceled her whole tour because nobody bought any tickets. How appropriate. Well, I wonder, maybe somebody will buy some tickets for some Pitbull shows. He's doing seven shows at Planet Hollywood. I can't imagine this would be good. Pitbull will go, okay, let's say you like Pitbull now. Mm-hmm. 20 years from now, he's going to be like the Vanilla Ice of this era, isn't he? He's going to be considered just a joke, isn't he? Look at that guy. There's no way people are going to consider him as a serious thing 20 years from now. No way.
No.
He looks like a... I don't know what he looks like. He's horrible in every way.
You just have some rage issues surrounding Pitbull.
Yeah.
There are a few songs of his I like, but again...
That Neo song.
That Neo song's great, but it's because of Neo.
We saw them do that live at the Billboard Music Awards a few years ago in Las Vegas, and Neo was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Pitbull was there. yeah, so anyway, this whole thing, mini residencies, there have been a lot of these in recent years, and I like it. Even if mm-hmm. I don't like all the choices. I like that they're happening more frequently.
Yes. And pretty soon somebody's going to come along where you're like, damn it, we're going.
Well, there are some. I mean, if the timing had worked out better, some of the Hard Rock residencies, I would have mm-hmm. seen Journey there. I would have seen Guns N' Roses there. I would have
seen Def Leppard.
Many of those. It just hasn't worked out as far as the timing, unfortunately, with our trips.
But at some point, there's going to be something where we're like, all right, we have to make a trip to see this.
Yes. Yeah.
Someday.
So it's a good trend. And the other thing...
Because we need an excuse to go to Vegas, right?
Yeah, right. Planet Hollywood is really setting itself up for a younger skewing audience with its entertainment.
I agree.
You know, Britney, kind of, much more so Jennifer Lopez, and even more so with Pitbull.
Mm-hmm. But then, if you compare it to the Coliseum, where they've got Celine Dion and Rod Stewart...
It's like oldies and easy listening. Because even Mariah Carey... It's an older audience because mm-hmm. of the type of music it is compared to some of the stuff they're doing over.
Just compared to when their peak was versus.
Yeah. So, I do like to see that they're tapping into a different, maybe a little bit different audience and mm-hmm. maybe a younger audience that isn't into the nightclub thing that still has an interest in, the entertainment
live music.
Scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. So, anyway, I cheer for the casinos bringing in artists for these mini residencies. I think it's a good thing.
Cool.
I would like to continue seeing it.
Yes.
Anything where they're bringing in live music too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I prefer, and that's just a matter of choice. I would much rather see a live musical performer, even if it's somebody who's like a pseudo musical performer like Britney. Yeah. I'd much rather see that style show than, I'm just not into the production shows as much.
Mm-hmm.
They're fine.
You're not a fan of the musicals.
No, we have we're going to have a last call segment on this show, and mm-hmm. we have a review of a show that is a musical that I didn't realize was that musical, but that Baz uh-huh. show at Light, we have a review of that.
Ooh.
And how it's pretty much just like a musical. It's not like, I don't know, the initial review of it isn't stellar. The review itself, the quality of the review is good. The quality of the show, however, sounds a little...
It's kinda, questionable.
If you're into musicals, you'll like it.
Okay.
But anyway... You can stick around for that. It's a good report. All right. So that's what's happening at Venetian and Planet Hollywood with some some musical performers. Before we go on to this next one, there's a new story that just broke moments ago before we started recording. Norm Clark is reporting on Twitter that there is another migration from Wynn Las Vegas across the street to the new Elan project, the Pascal and Packer project that has yet to, well, it's been announced, but
the PNP Music Factory, if you will.
Exactly. Jesse Waits, who runs the nightclubs at Wynn, Excess and Tryst, that have been very, very successful.
Yes.
He is jumping ship, moving across the street.
Ooh.
I know.
That is interesting.
They are. They're putting together quite a team of former Wynn employees
they
over there.
They really are.
Despite the fact that those initial sketches that came out were not all that impressive, the people behind it are impressive. Mm-hmm. So I have faith that they're going to do something really cool over there.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not into the nightclub thing, shit, you can't argue
argue with the success of Excess.
Yeah, those Wynn nightclubs do.
And Surrender and Tryst.
Really, really good business. So why not hire the guy who's running the show over there? So smart move for Elan, I would say.
Yep.
Speaking of casino management,
I would think.
I'm sorry.
I would think that by the time Elan is open,
four years.
I mean, Excess is still doing a good business, but I don't see. I think there would be an opening for something to come in and usurp it as
the nightclub thing is very much the what's new is hot kind of thing. And Excess has those nightclubs at Wynn have done very well despite being around a while.
Mm-hmm.
How long does that continue? I don't know.
I think it's a very
short
lifespan. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they do well. They do great business.
But that's why you see even some of them that are on that list of top nightclubs that are supposedly doing well, at least revenue-wise, you still see those. Like Pure was still doing very well, shut down, completely revamped, and became Omnia.
Mm-hmm.
So
they constantly have to reinvent themselves to keep stuff going.
I wonder if at some point the Wynn nightclubs are going to undergo some more major transformation. I mean, they've had some turnover at Wynn with the nightclubs. Remember, was it Blush that closed?
Yes, it was Blush.
And then it was rumored that it was going to be called, like, shit, Orgasm or some stupid shit.
Yes.
That's not what it was, but there was...
It was something along... Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know.
I do have a Blush that's called Orgasm. It's made by NARS.
Good to know. Thanks for sharing. All right.
It's a very popular blush. It's supposed to look good on a lot of different skin tones.
Let's move down the street to SLS and talk about some additional things related to casino and hotel management. SBE, the company that owns 10% of SLS and kind of got the whole project off the ground, Sam Nazarian's company, they have sold off two of the restaurants there, Katsuya and Clio, to a company called The One Group. The One Group owns STK at Cosmo as well, so they have a presence in Las Vegas. This is kind of noteworthy for a few reasons. First, some more background on The One Group. They also own Bagatelle at Tropicana, which had a very short life.
Oh, yeah.
And Herrera at Palms, again, another very short life, according to Las Vegas Sun.
Hmm.
This restaurant sale is not just those two physical locations, but it's a total of 12 restaurants because they have locations in other restaurant branches in other locations other than Vegas. It's a weird deal, though. SBE is going to continue to manage and run the SLS thing. Mm-hmm. One Group just gets a licensing fee for it.
Weird.
I know. It's an odd kind of thing. But SBE has been selling off a lot of other stuff. They sold off hotels in Beverly Hills and South Beach recently. And Howard Stutz had an interesting article in the Review Journal last week about how things at SLS will probably get worse before they get better.
Yeah.
Which isn't great.
I could see that.
Yeah. And there were a bunch of reasons why. But one of the quotes in the article is, and no surprise, but SLS is bleeding money.
You think?
Apparently, Sam Nazarian is no longer involved. He had left after the slapdown from the Gaming Commission, but then he came back a few months later and was going to be involved again. However, it sounds like the reports are that his office has been cleaned out and he's moved on to other things.
Huh.
Not as involved in Las Vegas. So that's kind of an interesting thing. But part of the thing in Stutz's article about how it could get worse, it's interesting. There's been a lot of debate on our Facebook group in the last month or so in a couple different threads about how much the location matters, how much is marketing, all that. And some people are like, no, it's not, you know, there's been too much focus on the location. There's been too much. It is a combination.
Yeah.
But the location is a huge thing. It gets.
Yes.
On the Las Vegas Strip, foot traffic matters.
Yep.
And they're getting no foot traffic. None. Nobody's walking down there.
Yeah. And I think we talked about this a little bit on the last show, and I know they covered it on Vegas Gang, but unless you're staying at Stratosphere,
right,
which is within walking distance, reasonable walking distance.
So then that's the people who say it's not a location issue will throw Stratosphere out and say, but Stratosphere is doing fine. But Stratosphere is established and has the customer base.
Right.
SLS does not, and that makes a huge difference. It's just like downtown. When you look at downtown Grand and its problems compared to Main Street Station, which has kind of a similar location, Main Street Station has a huge audience, a huge customer base, not only from there but from Boyd Gaming and all its other properties. The fact that it's established makes up for the location. Mm-hmm. So it's not just one factor. It's not just location. It's location plus being new, plus they fucked up who they're marketing to.
So here's a question.
That whole locals thing is a joke.
So remember when Palms opened and they marketed really heavily to locals and they had really good video poker and they had all these locals deals during the day?
Yes.
And then at night it became a party place where they drew younger people and the clubs were a really big thing.
Yeah, they did some amazing things over there.
Do you think something like that would work for SLS, or is it too late? Or
I don't
is
know.
That,
that's a good question.
Or has that strategy, it's been tried, it's been done, and something else needs to happen?
Maybe if they do it right. I don't know. Palms proved that it could work for at least a little while, although they're not really, their nightclubs have all failed except for Ghost Bar.
Right.
So, but that took some time. They were very hot for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know. So what you're saying is that the Maloofs should buy SLS.
Sure.
I'm in. I'm in for that. I'd love to see George Maloof back in the game.
I would, too.
I liked what he was doing. He had some good things going, and then the economy fucked him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to happen, but who knows? No. I wish that he would get back in.
But I do wonder if something like that would work, if they market to one category during the day and then another category during...
That's kind of what they were talking about, I think, kind of with the California crowd for the nightclubs and for the local stuff, but they haven't done it in such a way that it's effective.
Right.
So
whatever they're doing is not working.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll keep an eye on that. It'll be interesting to see now with those restaurants if it's an ownership change, but the management is the same. Mm-hmm. Are the restaurants, does that mean the restaurants are actually doing well, those two restaurants?
I'm curious.
I don't know.
I haven't tried Cleo. See. It's intriguing to me, but not something I'd go out of the way for, maybe.
Right. I don't know. The restaurant lineup is not bad. It's just, I don't know if that's enough to get me to go down there just for one of those.
Yeah. But I'd go down there. What would you go down there for?
Would you stay there again?
Yes.
I mean, we had a good time. We stayed there.
I would.
Would you like for a two-night thing again?
For
if
a two-night thing. I wouldn't stay there for four nights, but I would stay there for two. Because
yeah, I probably would too.
With the monorail, it was very easy to get to other places on the Strip.
We had a great time. It was fun. Yeah, I'd probably give it another shot.
Easy cab ride to downtown.
All right.
I like the smell in there.
In the casino?
Yeah. The scent they have
piped in. I don't know if I've noticed it that much.
Is pleasant. Hmm. It's not overpowering, but it's just.
Is it Eau de Sam?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, there's going to be a lot more stories about SLS as we continue to follow this saga and how it does and whether it survives and all that stuff. I guess it's going to come down to how much money the owners want to pump in between now and whatever. I don't know if Resorts World, I mean, that's going to help a little bit, but it's not that close. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be years away, so.
Yeah, and it's not that physically close either.
People are waiting, including myself, are waiting to see what the next quarterly report holds, because that'll tell whether or not Rock and Rio made any difference for those two weekends.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that's two weekends. So that's.
But that's two weekends every 2 years.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting. I'm curious to see is something like that, if they had a more active thing going on across the street, which in theory, MGM wants to use that more often, although they don't have anything else scheduled this year. How much would that help SLS? They can't control that, though. It's all whether or not MGM wants to use it. So
they're
tending to rely. MGM is tending to rely on their other outdoor concert venue across the street from Luxor instead. So I don't know. We will see. All right. We've got some news related to downtown bars. And you know what that means?
FremontStreetPaws.com, FremontStreetPaws.com, FremontStreetPaws.com.
Yes, indeed. We've had a lot of news related to the bars downtown, and usually it's something new opening lately. Mm-hmm. New restaurants, new bars. We're going the other way, and you know what? I think we may have posed this question early in the year. I think this might have been one of my predictions now that I think
really?
About it. Was this one of my predictions?
I don't know. You're going to have to go back and
look. I know. I think one of my predictions might be that we're going to see... Well, we didn't really do predictions. We did wishes.
Mm-hmm.
So no, it wouldn't have been one of my wishes. But I think at some point, I said that we're getting close to the point where something is going to close downtown on Fremont East. And that has happened. Insert Coins. That has closed as of a couple nights ago. That, of course, is the video game-themed bar. They had a bunch of old stand-up video games from the 80s,
mm-hmm.
as well as newer console games you could play at the bar or at their little their table seating thing. But
they had an outpost in Minneapolis briefly, too, but that did not last long at all.
No, they sold it off.
A couple months?
It was less than a year they sold it off, and they still kept the video games for a while, and then that failed, and they just turned it into like an event space, and I don't even know if that's open anymore.
Hmm.
Yeah, it didn't do well here. Insert Coins opened, I consider it kind of the second wave of Fremont bars, because the first wave was Beauty Bar, Downtown Cocktail Room, and the Griffin, I would say.
Yeah.
And then... second wave was like Insert Coins and maybe Vanguard.
Mm-hmm.
And now, since then, of course, every slot has filled up and we've got Commonwealth and Park and all those.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been around for 4 years. And the reason that the owner is giving is that they don't have the financial backing of large groups. There must be some bad blood between the Insert Coins owner and Downtown Project.
I want to play that Taylor Swift song.
Bad Blood?
Yeah.
You can listen to last week's Dyslexic Heart. I think we played it on there.
Yeah, we did.
The owner said in a Review Journal article that Downtown Project has never been an investor and never will, which indicates there's some reason that there's not positive feelings there.
Hmm.
But, you know, maybe they should be considering that Downtown Project stuff, at least some of it, stays open.
Right.
Although, who knows, 4 years from now, all that stuff could be closed, too.
Oh, I hope not.
I don't know. The owner also said he plans to return as soon as possible. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. We've been around long enough to know that once something closes, it's usually closed.
Yeah.
In Vegas.
I would be surprised if it happened.
It's a hopeful entrepreneur thing. The Chuck Jones Experience, remember that? We're closing at Circus Circus, but we have another location almost lined up.
Mm-hmm.
Never happened. How many restaurants and how many shows have said we're seeking a new location? It's only happened a very few handful of times where somebody says that and actually manages to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking Rock House did it. They moved successfully. Yeah. That's about it.
Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about Insert Coins closing?
You know what? We didn't have that much. We went there maybe twice.
Mm-hmm.
And
we had a good time when we went,
it was all
but
right.
It wasn't like the Griffin where, oh, I love this place. We have to go back all the time.
I never fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And
I liked it, but it wasn't...
not enough to draw me in.
Magnetic to me, yeah.
Like, I like the concept more than the reality of it.
Yeah.
You go in there and you're like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I remember these games. And you play them, it's like, eh.
Yeah.
I'm just not that much of a video game guy either.
Same here, yeah.
So it was kind of fun to relive some of those old games for a few minutes. And then I'm like, oh, I'll have a drink. And then this is... I'm over this. So yeah, it was fun. It was all right.
Yeah.
I won't miss it. So what's going to happen, I would imagine, is that the space will sit empty as is for about 6 months. And then somebody will buy it.
Yeah.
And
turn it into another bar or another restaurant.
I'm guessing restaurant. It's a big space.
It is.
I'm guessing restaurant. But who knows?
Yeah.
Might be another bar. Either way, I look forward to reporting on it and seeing what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We love bars.
We were really excited when that first came out, but I think part of the excitement was concept, and I think part of it was there wasn't a lot going on Fremont Street at the time, and it was...
yeah.
It's like, okay, this is a positive direction for East Fremont. Let's get more stuff like this.
Yep. Yep. So there'll probably be some more turnover. We're getting to that point where some of these bars have been open a few years, and it won't surprise me if we see another one or two turnover.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the next one would be. I think initially I predicted maybe Vanguard.
Yeah.
I do like that place, but...
I do too.
It wouldn't surprise me if that changed at some point too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All right, one more news story before we move along. Las Vegas Advisor reports that the hours of the Mirage Volcano are substantially being scaled back. Classic Las Vegas Strip attraction. One of the great free attractions on the Strip. It's one of those things you see, you know, your first or second time, and then after that, it's like if you happen to be walking by, it's cool. But it's nice to know it's there. I always like the Mirage Volcano.
Yeah.
So usually...
Especially after they redid it, they've got the music.
Yeah.
And it's a bigger experience, I guess.
Yeah, it's cool. Typically, for the last many years, it's been every half hour, every night. And they're scaling back to just 8 p.m. and 9 p.m. during the week, and 8, 9, and 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday.
Huh.
So I can't imagine any reason that they're doing this beyond saving money.
Money.
It's got to be. What would be... I can't imagine any other reason.
Yeah.
So that's too bad. Kind of sorry to do that, but I'm glad that they're not completely wiping it out.
I'm glad they're not wiping it out and replacing it with the Walgreens.
Oh, God. Let's not even talk about that. We have enough. Saturation, people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there you go. If you want to see the
Mirage. I love me some Walgreens. I won't lie. But I don't need to have one every 2 feet.
I agree. I think that we can space them out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We already have, like, five within a 5 mile radius.
Are you talking about on the Strip? There's more than five.
No, I'm talking about where we live.
Oh, where we live, yeah.
I think that's a lot of people's situation, though. If you
it's
go
becoming
to the store
McDonald's.
Locator. Yeah.
There's one within a half a mile wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much. All right.
But at least they don't have Treats Excited as a theme.
Don't even get me started on that. All right, let's move along to something a little bit more uplifting than bad McDonald's marketing slogans. Our friends at Viator.
Viator, Viator, it gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't know why, but I found myself looking at Canadian cities.
Viator, Viator, it gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. still getting used to this new iTunes thing. I found myself looking at Canadian cities today, or this
really?
Week on Viator. Yeah. I don't know why. I had this sudden knack to be in Canada.
Really? That's funny.
Yeah. Maybe it was that news that Donald Trump is running for president. I don't know. But anyway,
First, we're going to lose all of our McDonald's listeners. Now we're going to lose all of our Trump supporters.
It doesn't matter. We've got plenty of Canadian listeners, and we love them.
We do.
Canada's awesome, and there's like a lot of
like
parts of Canada
spend
I'd like
more
to see.
Time there. Vancouver, man.
That's what I ended up looking at. I for some reason, I always migrate to Vancouver because I've always heard it's a really cool city.
Yeah.
So I was looking at the Vancouver stuff. And once again, like whatever you're into, Viator has something cool in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that in so many cities. You look at the website and you're like, oh shit, if somebody's really into like adventure stuff, they've got stuff. They have like these biplane tours or seaplane tours. They got whale watching as part of one of the seaplane tours.
That would be cool.
So you do the seaplane thing, and then they also have a cruise with whale watching as part of it. Tons of sightseeing tours. So
I want to do whale watching sometime.
I don't know why.
I just...
Let's go watch some whales.
Yeah.
Not here. They don't have them here. But
no. But I just think that would be cool. I'm not sure why.
I think it would be. Whales are kind of awesome. Yeah. Sightseeing tours, one of the things that I always like about, I'm always hesitant with sightseeing tours to go on like the group tours because sometimes it
depends on who you get with too.
Yeah, it depends on the group. But they've got great sightseeing tours like that, but then they also have just the hop on, hop off buses in a lot of different cities, including Vancouver. So like that's always a great option because you can kind of do things at your own pace and on your own and still get that whole sightseeing experience.
Yeah.
They've got dinner cruises on Vancouver Harbor. They've got private tours of different sites. Capilano Suspension Bridge, Grouse Mountain. I don't know what any of these places are.
I was looking at them, like, oh my God, these
all look really cool. Yeah, really, really cool stuff. They have all kinds of walking tours, bike tours with beers and bites.
Hey.
We like both beers and bites. So yes. Now the biking part is a little bit, I'm not much of a biker.
I'm not either.
I bet there's some walking tours there with beers and bites too.
Yeah.
I would do that. How about kayak? We've already covered that neither of us are into kayaking.
No.
Snorkeling?
Although I did hear that they tip less than I thought they did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Someone was telling me it's really hard to tip a kayak.
Oh, good to know.
So I'm glad about that, but I'm still fearful of them.
I would consider snorkeling with seals.
I think it's because... Did you ever watch those shows in our youth where they would show kayakers going, like spinning around?
Like that was the thing. Like that's what they were doing.
So that's been ingrained in my head that you're in a kayak, you're going to frickin' go under and you better learn how to hold your breath.
Much of the television that we were raised on is proving to be false, including kayaking and what is considered a healthy breakfast.
Yes.
Yes.
The healthy breakfast. Let's talk about that.
Let's finish up this Viator spot first, but
and then we need to discuss this because I want to talk about it.
Whatever you're into, whether you're going to Vancouver, any other city in Canada, pretty much any other major city in the world, they have you covered on Viator. Awesome stuff. They sponsored the show for a long time. We appreciate their love. Viator.com is the place to go. You can download their apps. And as always, if you're going to book something, click through our link at 500bymidnight.com. First, we get extra credit points and shows Viator that their sponsorship is paying off. And I know a lot of you have been using that, and we do appreciate it.
Yay.
Thank you, Viator. All right, yes, the...
You showed some restraint by finishing out the segment and not going right into this, because we usually go into tangents right in the segment.
Well, we did a little tangenting, but I thought we might as well. So what the... This is not Vegas related, but the... healthy breakfast that they showed in the 70s.
So they would show your cereal, and then they'd have a glass of orange juice and a glass of milk, which I thought was redundant because you're getting milk in your cereal.
Right.
And then they would have toast.
Yes. That wasn't it. There was more than that. They had like freaking bacon.
And eggs.
Yeah, that whole breakfast would have been like 6,000 calories. Nobody was eating that fucking thing.
And a lot of carbs. And I love some carbs, don't get me wrong. But like... Do I need, I don't know.
And a lot of work.
A lot of
work. Who's making that breakfast every morning?
Yeah.
Not me. That's why our entire generation, myself included, are severely overweight from that fucking that was put in front of us every day. This well-balanced breakfast.
No, it's not well-balanced, first of all.
It's going to kill you. So that's what I blame for all my
issues. I do want some Fruit Loops now.
All right. Good to know. Mm-hmm. We'll get some Fruit Loops next time we get some groceries then.
All right. By we mean you.
Sure. No, I'm the designated grocery shopper thanks to my stay-at-home lifestyle.
I appreciate it because I fucking hate grocery shopping.
All right. This week's Facebook group post of the week.
As we ramble on.
It's a post from, is it from today? It is. It's from earlier today from James, who occasionally posts on the group. Mm-hmm. And it's a trip report. Occasionally people will post reports on the things they did on their trip, the things they liked, the things they didn't like, what they did, all that stuff. And the reason I chose James' trip report is because it was a trip with his mom, and it was her first trip back since having major surgery. Mm-hmm. And first of all, awesome. Glad your mom is back on her feet and able to go back to Vegas. But the other reason is because before James took this trip, he posted, I don't know, maybe a month or two ago, that he had this trip coming up, and it was going to be the first time his mom was back in Vegas after having surgery, looking for suggestions. And they got a ton of suggestions from our listeners, mm-hmm. and they took advantage of many of those suggestions.
Cool.
And he made sure in his report to thank people for all their suggestions, and it was just a really well-written report, and it was really cool to see that he and his mom had a great time.
That's awesome.
So it made me very happy.
Yay.
That's the things I'm migrating to. Like, this just makes me happy. Aww. Last week was like, somebody won a bunch of money. Awesome. That makes me happy. This time... James' mom had a really good time.
And thanks to the suggestions from the group.
Yep. That's what it's all about. Fun stuff. So thanks, James. Appreciate the post. Okay. You can find the Facebook group on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
Not on MySpace?
No, it's not on MySpace. We used to have a MySpace page, but it wasn't nearly as entertaining as the Facebook group. So you can do a search for 500 or click through from our website. You'll find it. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard. You're probably already on there. We got like 3,500 people now.
Wow.
And growing. It climbs like every day. It's amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's great to have people joining in the conversation. Yeah. All right. We've got some phone calls. Let's start off with somebody we heard from last week. Longtime caller, Chris.
Hey there, guys and ladies. Oh, my God. It's horrible. Anyway, Chris from Tanaka is calling again. One last note I forgot to mention. So one of the things that I wanted – well – let me try that again. One of the things my son wanted to do is he wanted to see the Gold and Silver Pawn Shop, a.k.a. the Pawn Stars Pawn Shop. You can. We did. We got a cab there from downtown, and then we actually got a cab back down to where we're staying, back on the Strip. And just one of the things I wanted to tell people is it's a total tourist trap. It's not much bigger than like a 7-Eleven or some quickie mart that you've got maybe times twice that size. They had some cool things in the display case, not a lot, but mostly it was just a lot of people kind of going around looking at neat things in display cases and people buying souvenirs. It's just a waste of time. Quite honestly, the TV show is way more interesting than actually going and seeing the pawn shop, so I would just say skip it. It's not worth it. Just avoid, even if you're a tremendous fan of the show, just avoid. Avoid, avoid, avoid. Was I clear enough? I think I was.
Avoid?
Anyway, later.
All right, thanks, Chris. Yeah, pretty much a glorified gift shop from all the reports that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
They do filming in another part of the shop that's not even open to the people.
Huh.
Just walking off the streets. So I have no desire to go there. Although...
The container thing.
I'm moderately interested in that only because I'm curious to see how long it's going to last.
Yeah.
I can't see it doing that well. I mean, they're pretty... I don't see it...
Location again.
Yeah, I just don't see it being that big of a destination beyond people who are already going to the pawn shop store. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I don't know. They've got a couple interesting things that are going in there, but I don't know if that alone would get me to spend much time there.
Yeah.
Like you said, location. So time will tell. Okay. Let's get a report on a recently opened restaurant downtown.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Kevin from Scott Air Force Base. Just hopefully a quick trip report from this fake Vegas trip this 4th of July weekend. Did a few things. Went down to the new restaurant, the Siegel 1941 at the El Cortez. Now, the years I've been going to the El Cortez, I'm not impressed with the place. Expensive. Whoever did the decor inside, it's really cheesy. The flame used to be really nice inside. This place just looks cheesy. The food's okay, but it's nothing to jump up and down about. A little expensive. We went and saw, my son and I, we went and saw the 50 Shades, the parody over at Bally's. Freaking hilarious. It's kind of like on that same type thing as...
Aw, that's where he cut out.
Darn it.
This was a weird week. We had like 3 or 4 calls that just cut out like that.
Huh.
Like, and it was all cell phone stuff. So sorry we lost the rest of that call.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it was a good show. Mm-hmm. I would not have guessed that.
I bet if you enjoy like mocking 50 Shades of Grey, which is very easy to do.
It is. Yeah, it's parody. So yeah. I'm sure it's amusing. Good. Glad to have the report. Yeah. I'm sorry to hear.
That's a second report on Siegel 1941 that has not been positive.
Very disappointing.
Yeah.
El Cortez is going to get a lot of shit from its regular customers over this.
I think so. And I think its regular customer base is one that's resistant to change also.
I think you're right. I think it might skew a little mm-hmm. The cranky side.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I do. I enjoyed the flame.
I did too.
And that was such a good deal.
It was a good deal. That's what, that was one of the things that I really liked about it. That it was, you know, you're getting the steakhouse experience, but it was a little bit cheaper than some of the other
mm-hmm.
Steakhouses in the area. So
yeah, and I just really enjoyed it.
Too bad it's gone.
Yeah.
All right. Next caller.
Hey guys, listening to your podcast, you guys both just inquired to each other about the, this is Brian the Thinker, by the way.
Hey Brian.
Sorry about that. You inquired about the cotton candy foie gras at the Bar Meats, and Tim called it stupid, out of hand, and Tim, this is why nobody likes you.
I'm beloved. But I'm going to borrow something from another podcast that I listen to. Allison Rosen is your new best friend, because if she were to have gotten that comment, she would have played this.
Hey, go fuck yourself.
It's not a very nice thing.
I'm just responding to his comment. All right, continuing on.
It's delicious. Imagine a stick with a small piece of foie gras, a piece of foie gras on it, and then you wrap the cotton candy around it until about the size of a baseball. So you eat it, and it's sweet, and then at the center you have this gorgeous, delicious, fatty foie gras.
Oh.
And it is...
So it's a Tootsie Pop.
One of the most delicious single bites I think I've ever had. So that's it. Enjoying the show and talk to you all later. Bye bye.
Thanks, Brian.
So it's not really foie gras cotton candy.
I thought the cotton candy was made out of foie gras for some reason.
Yeah, no, it's not.
And I'm sure people have told me otherwise.
No, nobody's told us anything about it. That's why we wondered what it was. But so it's a piece of foie gras wrapped in cotton candy.
So it's like the sweet and salty situation.
I'll give that to you.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Brian. Good to know you. All right. Next up.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Michelle. Marty and RJ from Northern California.
Hey, guys.
Just got back from Vegas. It's Monday morning at 4th of July weekend. Went out for 4th of July. You know, Vegas was a great party. It was really a good time. Went and saw Brooks and Dunn on 4th of July, and it was the last of the ninth show of their first run there. And it was absolutely phenomenal. Never been a huge Reba fan. Always been a big Brooks and Dunn fan. What a great show. We actually went with friends of ours. They actually said it was the best show they'd ever seen. And we're already planning to go back and seeing them in December when they're back for the second round.
Wow,
so,
nice.
Great show. I don't know. I haven't heard anybody else calling in to talk about it. But anybody who was there, I'm sure they were just almost overwhelmed. But 90 minutes or so, and it's not a Brooks and Dunn and then Reba. It's all of them together for the full 90 minutes. So it's actually very, very cool. Vegas fireworks on 4th of July. I got to tell you, they did it up right, except for it happens right during the concert. So we missed the show. However, we get out of the concert at Caesar's Palace, and it's actually worse than New Year's Eve with the huge crowd streaming in the doors. By about 9:30, you could not move inside of Caesar's Palace because there was literally 5,000 strollers. All the locals kind of bring their families down to the strip to watch the show. They shoot them off on the top of Caesar's Palace and a bunch of others, and they all go into the casino. And the combination of the strollers and the 5,000 or so people there for the club was almost unbelievable. It had to have been a fire hazard. So bad planning on Caesar's part. Anyway, great time. Have a good one, guys. Thanks. Love the show.
Thank you for the report. That is our first Brooks and Dunn and Reba report, so I appreciate that. Are there any acts like that that you would like to see combined? Not like country acts. I'm talking about like multi, like people who know. I think that they usually have the opening act kind of, they toured together. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the suddenly doing a stage show together.
I should have something really clever here, but I don't.
No, I don't have any, but I was just wondering if there's anything like, it would be really great to see Duran Duran and the Bangles all on the stage at the same time. I don't know why I thought of that.
I do love both of those bands, but
I do too.
I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, okay. Anyway, glad that you enjoyed that. And it speaks very highly that you're planning on going back and seeing it a second time.
Yep.
So that's awesome. Glad. It's always sad when people spend a lot of money on tickets for something and then it doesn't meet their expectations.
Right.
So even if it's not something I'm into, I'm happy to hear that you had a great experience and that it's keeping the fans happy. That's a good thing. And again, another musical, live musical act. And as I said, I'm a fan of that and keep bringing that in.
Mm.
More of that. It makes me happy. Less nightclubs, more live stuff. Okay. Moving along.
Hey, 500, Dan from Los Angeles.
Hey, Dan.
Sitting at State Line heading back home after an impromptu trip to cheer on a buddy who's doing well in the World Series of Poker main event.
Nice.
I was listening to the bonus show and I thought I'd chime in with a bit of news and an observation. First, the news. The Beatles' Love is getting a refresh. I was talking to a couple of their employees. Apparently, they've already started the process, and the plan is to have the...
Oh, that's where he cut out. He comes back, though.
Oh, okay.
So, coming soon, a refresh to Love at the Mirage about the Beatles.
And I wouldn't be surprised if, similar to Zumanity's refresh, maybe a new marketing campaign to go along with the show. And the observation, driving in, the second billboard you see once you can see the Las Vegas Strip is, of course, Floyd Mayweather and the Money Team. The third, SLS Advertising Rooms, starting at $55 a night. Remember when they were going to charge Cosmopolitan rates? Yeah. Anyway, keep up the great work. Go Jeff Platt. Bring home that big money in the WSOP. Bye-bye.
I'd love for a listener to the show or a friend of a listener to the show to do well in the World Series. They're down to, I don't know what they're down to now. As of like yesterday, they were down to 1,000, 1,800 people, something like that, out of 6,000.
Mm-hmm.
So World Series of Poker. Are you following it closely?
No, I'm not. I'm thinking of bands I'd like to see together still. And all I could come up with was Bachman Frank Turner Overdrive. I don't think that would work so well.
Why would you want to see that? You don't even like Bachman Turner Overdrive.
No, I don't.
Funny,
just
though.
Just trying to be a smartass.
Good effort.
Yeah. How about you two and Springsteen? I don't think there's a stage.
They've done that before.
Yeah, I know.
They've performed together before, but not like an entire show.
Right.
Nah.
No?
Nah, I don't want to see them together.
Okay.
No. All right. Forget.
I'd like to be at a show where one of them makes a cameo, though.
Well, that would be cool. Fun. Yeah. All right. I shouldn't have asked. Sorry.
We saw Cheap Trick and Aerosmith together once.
I know. Two whole songs, I think.
Yeah.
It was awesome. All right. Final call of the week.
Hey, it's Danny from Houston with my beautiful wife, Janie, right here.
Hey.
Hey.
We're drunk gambling, and we had a thought. Why do we call Venetian Palazzo Palazzo, but we don't call Aria and Vidara Vidaria? I'm going to have more coherent thoughts later about stuff we did and shit. Hey, bye. Hey, pretty lady.
All right. Thank you for sharing that thought that you clearly had while you were drinking.
Yay.
That's the kind of thing that crosses my mind when I'm drinking, mm-hmm. too. Sometimes I choose to share it. Sometimes I just keep it to myself. I'm glad you chose to share it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So before we go, we have some people to thank for karma donations this week, including Robert and Paul with a karma donation for an upcoming trip in about a week.
Yay.
Have a great time.
You. Good luck.
Thank you for that. Do you want to tell our dog to quit doing that?
Max, could you maybe
thank you.
Realize that the pillow doesn't move? Thanks. Good boy.
Eric from Charlottesville with a karma donation for a quickie trip to the link starting tomorrow.
Good luck. Have fun.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Have a great trip. Gary with a retroactive karma donation. Gary's the guy who posted the big jackpot on Facebook a week or so ago. And he said, thanks for doing what we do.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thanks, Gary.
You're
welcome. Appreciate that. Congratulations again. Eric with karma donation. First time he's done a karma donation. He said he's hoping it leads to the first time ever he's left Vegas with extra money.
I hope so, too.
He's going to the UFC fight, which is this weekend.
Ooh.
I don't know. I think it was last night.
Okay.
Lots of people there for the UFC thing. Carrie with
Thank
16th
you.
Anniversary, 10th annual Vegas trip
Oh, yay.
Donation.
Congratulations and enjoy yourself and thank you.
Awesome. As always, anniversaries and birthdays, perfect excuse.
Yes.
Not that we need one, but why not? Jennifer from Scranton. Karma donation for an overnight trip to AC with her mom and to get her through until the Vegas Internet Mafia
cool.
Family Picnic, October 16th through the 18th in Las Vegas at the D.
Good luck in AC.
Look forward to seeing you at VIMF.
Yes.
Robert with a karma donation for an annual guy trip happening right now at the D.
All right.
Hope
thanks.
You're having a great time.
Good luck.
Thank you. 50 in Vegas with a pre-VIMF donation. Said he's finally going after listening to all those VIMF podcasts and Podcast-a-Palooza at Palms Podcasts and... Also said this is a small way to help keep me unemployed while I allegedly finish the book.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, first of all, well, not first of all, but hey.
Do you want to do the update now or do you want to wait till after we're done with the karma donations?
Okay, I'll wait.
Okay.
Teaser. Nice. A 2-minute teaser. Carol with a karma donation in honor of an upcoming August trip.
Thank you. Good luck.
Have a great time. Thank you. David driving out from Denver.
And thank you to 50 in Vegas also.
Absolutely. Thank you. David driving out from Denver for a friend's wedding tomorrow, Saturday, and said he might not do a lot of gambling, so he's hoping for karma so they don't get arrested.
Well, good luck with that.
I hope that
Very
works
much
out.
Luck with that, and thank you.
And if you do get arrested, well, I'm too far away to help you out.
Yes,
so.
The voicemail line will not help you.
No. Nick from Wichita with a mid-trip karma donation.
Cool. Well, thanks. I hope the rest of your trip brings you luck.
Hope you did well. Thanks again. And finally, a new recurring monthly karma donator, Kelly.
Awesome. Thank you, Kelly.
Much appreciated. We do appreciate all the support of the show. It means a lot to us. Thank you so much. You guys are awesome.
Hey. All right. Book update.
Oh, yeah. Book update. Where it's like so close. We can, if you were to taste a book, which you wouldn't want to do, you could taste it.
Are you
it.
Going to put special flavor enhancements
no,
into the
No, I don't have that
version?
Kind of money.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if that's even possible. But anyway, the book is...
You're not going to put a scratch and sniff edition out there at the very least?
No. You kidding? It's been enough effort as is.
Smell the Casino Royale
Yeah,
bathroom.
Nobody wants
no.
the parts that I would have the sniff, scratch and sniff, you don't want to be sniffing. So, no, that's not a good idea at all. Yeah, the book is pretty much ready to go to print in about a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that happens...
You're just waiting on some final edits from...
I have to do one more edit, too.
Very slow in getting them to
I've
you.
I've got some final design stuff happening in the next couple days and some final edits, and then it'll go to print, and then it'll still be a couple more weeks because, obviously, I've got to take a look at the print proof and approve that and make final changes to that, if there are any, and then get some books ordered for our beloved Kickstarter donators and supporters and get those out, and then we'll have it on sale.
Sweet.
So it's coming. A few more weeks, and we've got some other stuff coming, too. If you follow me on Instagram, you saw the design of the new t-shirt tonight, the 500 t-shirt. Those will be available in a couple weeks as well. And one or two other things that we're going to have available on the website. So keep an eye out for that, and very excited to get the book out to you. And then I got to get the audiobook recorded. That'll be coming a little bit later, but coming along soon. And there will be an ebook too, but that'll be probably around the same time as the print. Hopefully we'll have that ready to go at the same time. So
hey.
Busy few weeks here. to get all this stuff up and running, but I'm very excited about it. So there you go. That's the update on the book as of today. Next, now we'll see next week when we do the show if we indeed did send it to print as intended. I hope so. I'm so ready for it to go.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it.
You're ready for your little bird to leave the nest.
I know. I'm a little scared about it too, but that's okay. Stick around for the last call segment. We've got three more phone calls, a little bit longer calls that I wanted to include. So you can stick around and listen to those. And that's about it. So you can find our website, as always, at 5HuddyByMidnight.com. If you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions, please email them to us. 5HuddyGmail.com is the place. I think we've got a few more in the hopper we're going to get to one of these days. 5Huddy and Anita Martini are our names on Twitter. You mm-hmm. can find us over there, Twittering about this and that and whatnot and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, of course, 702-866-9494 is the voicemail line. We would love to hear from you. Always good to get your reviews, your reports, your thoughts on Vegas. And you can hear yourself on the show and it'll be magical. Wouldn't you say?
Sure.
All right. All right. Stick around for last call and we'll be back next week with another show. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. We will talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, Tim and Michelle, it's now Silver Danny from Houston. Last night was fun. We won winnings, and then my wife spilled her pina colada all over the slot machine. Party foul. Fun ended, but we needed to go to bed anyway. So I was calling about a couple of things, and if I think of anything else later, I'll call again. But anyway, first of all, I wanted to call in about the cabana we had at the Bellagio pool on Thursday. Just some brief notes. It was $300, and you got a bunch of stuff with it. And you got a couch, a couple of wicker lounge chairs that were cushy, four chairs outside with two umbrellas. You get a dedicated host. You have Wi-Fi, but it was really weak where we were in Cabana 18. You get two pool rafts. You get a fruit plate. You get a fridge with 12 soft drinks and 10 bottles of water and a fruit tray. And then there's TV and an iPod dock. And then you have the person that's your host is really good. Ours was Dina, and she was fabulous. She was very friendly and quick, and you have a phone line where you can reach her directly when you need something. You also get a tray of snacks, and it's available from 9 to 5 when you reserve it. So we enjoyed it. It gave us our own space. We could kind of lay out all of our stuff without worrying about anything because Dina was always around, and it's kind of cordoned off. And I don't think we'll ever not do the cabana again because there's four of us. And in the end, we ended up with a tab right under $500 with the cabana plus the drinks, which were pricey, but we expect that $80 for a pitcher of some tropical sugary shit. But four of us, $500, that didn't include tip. It was not bad. We'd totally do it again. The other thing I wanted to tell you about is we went to, for the record, Baz. And I am going to tell you that if you do not like musicals, you do not need to go to the show because it is straight out like a musical. And while I do like musicals, I was not expecting a musical. I don't know what I was thinking because if you read the description, it's a fucking musical. And it's not that it was a musical. It's that it was a musical that was like badified. It was super opulent, over the top, all that hyper-realization. So it was nonstop. It was lots of action. But it was just like a little bit too much for me. I was like, whoa. Anyway, so the general premise is this For the Record group actually does a bunch of different types of shows. They're based out of Los Angeles. My wife and I had to look them up because we heard a reference to it, and then sure enough. And so they'll take different movies by an artist or within the genre and set them to musical soundtracks. Some of the soundtrack is actually from the movies, and some is adapted. And so then it just tells the story through the music. And so they have other ones like about a Martin Scorsese film, the Robert Zemeckis, which I think would be entertaining, the Coen brothers, et cetera. So it's worth looking up because it's curious. Anyway, this one takes Romeo and Juliet, Moulin Rouge, and Great Gatsby storylines and combines those. If you like the music from any of those, there's definitely direct music taken from the movies, then there's some really cool adaptations otherwise. The cast is really hardworking. I mean, like, they nonstop move around this club. Sorry. And so it's at Light Nightclub, which is an interesting venue. We bought tickets that were, like, dedicated. You sit in this space, but when you actually get there, they kind of take you to your section, and you can sit in the chairs, you can sit on the floor, you can sit on the seat backs, you can stand up, they don't really care. They kind of try to treat it as a club environment. So that was good and bad, because there are no good seats, but there are no bad seats either. Because of the nightclub environment, it's not really designed for a show, and so you won't ever see everything. My wife and I agreed. We were in the second tier, just, you know, above the floor level, and there were good seats, but there were moments when a speaker blocked us, or the railing was in the way. So we agreed the best seats are actually the cheapest ones in the top tier, probably near the center, because you'll see everything from there. So just a recommendation. So the cast is really hardworking. I felt that the females were so much stronger than the males. They're all very reputable performers. We, again, Googled them, and they have lots of Broadway history. One of the Los Angeles female leads for Spring Awakening, and she was fabulous as Juliet. The main lead, Daisy, has an amazing vocal range, so she was really impressive. So there are moments that I liked. There are good renditions. When Doves Cry is really good. Everybody's Free was really good. But as a whole experience, I gave it like a 2 out of 5. My wife loved it, so we'll probably go back because she loved it, and I have to. Other than that, drinks were expensive. Club prices, 2 5-cent up-ins were $18 each. But you get free nightclub admission afterwards. Yay! Okay, so that's it. I don't know that I would recommend it if you don't like musicals. If you are looking for a Cirque type of thing, some people have thought this might be a good replacement for Vegas Nocturne. It's not. It's completely different. It's a musical. And they run around and they're in your face and they kind of get in your space a lot. So if you're not into that, then I wouldn't recommend it. But if you're a musical person, go for it. All right. I know that was kind of long. Thanks, y'all. Bye.
Tim and Michelle, Chris from Santa Cruz again. Hey, one last thing I wanted to remember. I'm home and I'm drunk. That's more than I had actually when I was in Vegas. It's a long story. Anyway, brief update. Hash House a go-go. So my son and I wanted to have breakfast, and it was past 11 o'clock, and we wanted to go get breakfast. So we went to the Imperial Palace Hash a go-go. And oh my God, what a clusterfuck. There was a huge line of people. The wait was 50 minutes, and we still wanted breakfast. So doing the things that any Vegas expert would do, I kind of said, fuck this noise, and we went and took a cab to downtown and went to the Palazzo Hash House a go-go, whereby we had our pick of either table or booth, and there was no wait. So keep in mind, if you desperately need breakfast anytime during the day, and Hash House a go-go at Imperial Palace is booked solid, do not waste your time going there. And if you really desperately need breakfast, you can always go downtown. By that time, we had our pick of any breakfast restaurant there, and it was fantastic. So, I kind of have the philosophy of don't wait for more than 45 minutes for anything in Vegas. You have plenty of alternatives. Also, sorry, there is another thing I wanted to talk to you about. So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was the people who wait in cab lines unnecessarily when there are better options available. So there's a story behind this. My son and I go to Penn and Teller, and we get out. Of course, there's this humongous taxi line to try and get out of the Rio. It's just enormous. It's hot. There are lots of people waiting there, and people are calling out, like, hey, or sorry, I think it was the bellman or whoever the valet guy is out front was calling, hey, there are limos and SUVs and town cars available. Does anyone want to go? Not waiting in line. By the way, if you have a large group of people, you should seriously consider doing that too. And here's why. If you've got 2 people, that's not necessarily so economic, but if you've got 4 people or if you've got 6 people, the price starts working out to be about $12 or $15 a person. And at that point, you start thinking to yourself, huh, well, I could either stand here for an hour in the heat going through a rendition of a horrible Disneyland ride trying to get into a horrible, horrible cab, or for just a few bucks more, all of us can pile into an air-conditioned town car, SUV, or limo and get to our destination much faster. You know, for me, it's worth the money. I know that some people don't want to do that, but I've pulled that trick successfully. It works really, really great. Again, you have to have the numbers. If it's just two of you, you're going to shell out more. But if you've got like six or eight of you and there's a cab line that goes on for like 45 minutes, the price works out really great for all of you to just get in the limo. It's going to be about 10, 15 bucks a person, and it's much better than waiting in line. It's always going to be much better than waiting in line. Again, I can't speak to cost thresholds, but for me, you know, if you're standing in the heat, time is money, and it's cutting into your fun time, and I just go for it. So that's the one recommendation that I would recommend to people. We did it once on this trip, and once my son and I didn't do it, and boy, did we regret not doing it, because we were in a horrible real cab line. And by the way, it's not like they don't occasionally run out of cabs, and then you're standing there with 200 of your friends or people you don't want to hang out with, and you just wish you had just taken up the offer when the limos and the SUVs and the town cars were available. So just something to consider. You know, you can always ask the valet how much it is. And if it's too high, get back in line. It's fine. But if it's if you have a large group of people, the math works out. Anyway, that's my tip. Bye.
Hey, 500. It's Paul from St. Augustine. Just came back from a five-night trip, but I call you with a few things. I believe we were out there at the same time for a few of the days. You were probably hanging downtown. I was hanging on the strip. Anyway, I'll give you a review of some of the restaurants we ate at. I don't think there's been a lot of conversation on the podcast on this, so I'll give you a brief rundown of what we tried. We went to Tao for some Asian food. I've been going out to Vegas 17 years, have never been in it. Decided to try some Asian, thought the place might not be too upscale and not too casual, kind of in between, and hopefully wasn't too young. An old fart at 56, so I didn't want it to be too young. All good. I would highly recommend going. Atmosphere in the place is fabulous. Just as I thought, kind of upscale-y, but not the casual atmosphere within a nice dining room, basically. We were out of there probably by 8:15. Club people yet, none of that going on. All kind of middle-aged, probably convention people. So really good atmosphere. The food was really, really good as well. A few things I'll recommend is their specialty is miso-glazed sea bass. One of the best pieces of fish I think I've had. The sauce on it is delicious. I would highly recommend going. Comes with some bok choy and some stir-fried vegetables. Also recommend the pork fried rice, probably the best fried rice we've had. Really good night there. And then had a drink. I believe the name was a Dragon Slayer. That might be wrong, but I think that might be what it was. But it got recommended by the waiter. Had vodka in it and ginger beer. So we're going towards the Moscow Mule, which I love. And they also put ginger liqueur in it. And then a little funky twist, some kind of strawberry something. I don't know what strawberry it was. It sounds funky even saying it right now. But after drinking two of those, they were very tasty. So I would recommend that as well. Next up for dinner, Yardbird, the new sort of new joint. I think it's been open 6 months plus or so at the Venetian. It's a Miami restaurant. Just come out to Vegas. They specialize in fried chicken. Another one I would recommend. If you're in the mood for fried chicken, that's really what they're all about. We started off with deviled eggs, which I'm a deviled egg fan. Love them. Great deviled eggs. Fried chicken, they give you a half a fried chicken, you split. It was very good. We also got the mac and cheese, which was very good. And then we got some biscuits as well, which another good touch, came with some pepper jelly, which was good. And then the one other thing that they're kind of known for and it sounds really weird, but it's like a spiced watermelon. Comes with kind of an Indian spice and basil, I believe, was in it. But and it sounds funky even saying it again. But it was really good, really refreshing. And then for dessert, we had peach cobbler. I would stay away from that. Wasn't too good. So, but overall, nice little atmosphere. If you're in the mood for fried chicken, I would recommend the Yardbird. Had a good night. Next up, we went to Lago. This sort of new place at the Bellagio. I believe a few people have called or written in on this. The decor and the atmosphere is really nice. We were lucky enough to get there and get a seat outside. And again, we've been going to the Bellagio since, in fact, we were there 3 days after it opened. So we've been sitting at the Bellagio a lot. And the first fountain show that came up, I think you brought it up on one podcast, the fountain show, Time to Say Goodbye by Bocelli, was the first one that came up. So it was really a fitting night. Sat there, had some great drinks. They weren't rushing us. Place was packed, too. The standout dinner was Oscar Bucco, really good veal shank, really good meal. Had a great time in there. It wasn't cheap, but overall, really good meal. And then last up, we felt like Italian, real Italian, or I should say red sauce Italian, we'll call it, and decided on Buddy V's. We had been to Rao's and Sinatra and even Lavo and decided to try someplace new, so we went to Buddy V's. I'll give this place a thumbs up for the food. Atmosphere and service were lacking. We had chicken palm, really good chicken palm, and it was really, it was not fried like a lot of chicken palm, so it wasn't as crusty on the outside, but it stays really moist on the inside. Really good chicken palm. We also got some garlic cheese bread, which was really good as well. And then for dessert, you have to have a Buddy V, so we went with Italian wedding cake, which was good. But again, the service was really lacking. The atmosphere is just kind of so-so. And one thing that really almost kind of ticked me off, I guess, have been one of those maybe a 500-day rant maybe, was asked for this bottle of wine. Guy came back twice saying, which one? And then he comes back and says, oh, we don't have it. It's too new. Well, it's on the damn menu. How can it be too freaking new and you don't have it? So anyway, just kind of left a sour taste of there. But the food was good, just lacking in some other things. And then the last thing I'll say about food and drinks, we're sangria snobs down here in St. Augustine because it's everywhere you go. If you want a really good sangria, Julian Serrano and the Aria, there's three kinds, white, red, and sparkling. Really good sparklings, like a white with champagne on top and some fruit in it. It's really, really tasty, especially in some hot days out there. Okay, I'll let that be at the restaurant. I'll probably give you a call back, let you know some other things that did. And hope you guys had a good time. I'm sure I'll hear about it in an upcoming podcast. Thanks so much. Appreciate all the news you supply.